Well, good morning, Calvary Church family. It is great to be here together and such a great crowd. I was bracing Memorial Day weekend. I was ready to close my eyes, and it's just wonderful that you're all here today, and just that God's going to do a special thing in your life is with your family, different activities that you might have on this Memorial Day weekend. We're just grateful that you've taken some of that time to be with us today. Also, just pray you're enjoying your Memorial Day weekend, but I honestly don't want to just jump over this. I'm ready to get in my message, but it's Memorial Day weekend, and I want to honor our fine men and women who have served our country. And so if you have ever served or served in the military, in fact, I want to extend this and serve our community, police, fire department, first responders. If you have done that, would you please stand? We want to recognize you, all of those. If you've done any of that, please stand. Thank you. Excellent. So thank you for your service. And also with it being Memorial Day, let's pray for the families that have had to endure. As much as they would have pride at the person standing, they've had to also walk the sorrow of losing that loved one in the act of protecting us so that we have the freedom to be able to do what we take for granted. Tomorrow we'll be out, some of you will be out on the lake, some of you will be grilling, we'll be doing a number of different things, and yet we'd be remiss to not remember those families. And so if we could do that, could we just take a moment to pray for them? I just felt led to do this morning. And so even those perhaps watching online, you have a loved one that you've lost in one of the greatest acts of sacrifice for us. And we're grateful as a nation for it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Gold Star families, for our families that literally sacrificed their loved one. Because of their loved one's sacrifice, Lord, we are the benefiter of it. And we do not take it lightly. We don't take it for granted. And we just pray your blessing in your hand be around that family today. Each family, Lord, we just pray that you will show your love, your strength, and your comfort. And Father, we just remember them and we love them today because of what they've done for us that we can worship you. Father, we're just grateful for their lives. And so, Lord, we pray your peace and your comfort around each of these families, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Back to our study of James. It's one of the parts James begins to help us understand, and we began to look at it last week, with what does a pure religion actually look like? And we began to look at how we could care for orphans, and as we stay in verse 27, as we begin to look at tests. He's given us a series of tests in the entire chapter one, different tests to know if our faith is real, to know if our faith is not only a saving faith, but it's a maturing faith, it's a growing faith. He gives us tests to be able to mark that if we're a true believer in Christ, he gives us some tests that we could look towards, even our tongue, the way we would speak, not only about others, but speak about our situation, how we even speak about that situation to God. We guard our tongue. Last week, we realized there's a test, as I found a mosquito. Gotcha. Jesus' name, be gone. One down, only 10,000 more to go, right? And we're just starting summer. And gotta love it. So last week, even as we faced tests of mosquitoes, we get to the part we looked at caring for orphans. And today we look about caring for widows. Look at verse 27 with me, James chapter 1. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. See, God's design is women, when you read through the Bible, was never intended to provide for themselves. The design and this is definitely not the design of society, but the design in God's word was, and God had a very special place when he created women. He wanted women that would be cared for and protected. That is his heart. His desire was a companionship that when women were created in a companionship in creation, like Eve for Adam. It was really to develop a relationship similar to what individually we could have with our God. He wanted there to be a companionship. And so God has a heart that we will discover very deeply for widows. In fact, let me give you a few scriptures as we get started this morning. Psalm 68, verse 5, Father of the fatherless. And this is really a psalm of worship. And you get to this part of verse 5. You're the father of the fatherless. A protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. So in that same vein that we were just worshiping God, in that same part, God, you'll manifest yourself. God, we give you glory. We give you praise. And in that same sentence, the psalmist, you're the father of the fatherless, the protector of widows. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. See, God is a God that wants to look out for every aspect of our lives. And we can see it especially in the lives of widows. But if we're not careful, and we saw this last week, that just how serious God takes this. Deuteronomy 27, 19, we looked at this verse last week. Cursed be anyone who perverts the justice due to the sojourner, the fatherless, the widow, and all the people shall say amen. In other words, God has such a justice heart to protect those that are widows, that are defenseless, that are helpless. He will look out for those. And cursed be those who don't. So this is the challenge that we have. If we don't do it, there's a curse on us. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 23, which is really a chapter of repentance, goes through, as you go through that whole chapter, verse 23, your princes and rebels are companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and runs after gifts. They do not bring justice to the fatherless, and the widow's cause does not come to them. In other words, those who could do something for the widows didn't. And God's saying, you're stealing from them. You're stealing from them. And because of that, like scriptures like this in Exodus chapter 22 says, you shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you mistreat them, they will cry out to me, and I will surely hear their cry. So here's the stark words. You don't do it. Just know this. I hear them. God is saying, I hear them, that when they cry, I hear them. The world could turn a deaf ear, a blind eye, but God hears and he sees. And my wrath will burn, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall become widows and your children fatherless. Stern words. May we be sober-minded as a church not to drift that way. And that's what I love about the book of James is as we're building foundations of the church that God wants us to become and be and continue to be. That's why Stacy and I are grateful to be pastoring a church like Calvary Church. So in some ways, this is speaking to the choir on many counts, but there's so many ways we could do better in serving widows, and we'll discover that today. But I'm grateful that our ministries will take opportunities like the Rangers in the fall, raking the leaves for the elderly and some of our widows. Grateful for Jared for doing that. Individually, as friends, watching many of you come alongside those in need, we see it. We've watched, Pastor Stacy and I have watched it, and we've marveled at just how people do it, not with recognition, but just because of your generosity and just your heart for those, and just to show the love of Jesus. But as we go through the Bible, you can't help but escape God that God cares for the widow. And it's even interesting throughout Scripture as you dig into it. Six of the resurrections in Scripture. This is real interesting. Six resurrections where somebody was really resuscitated from the dead would be a great way to put it. But four of the six affected widows. When you get to the Gospels, Jesus is hanging on the cross. One of his last moments isn't just only talking to the thief on the cross, but it's talking to one of his disciples to say, take care of my mother, who is about to become a widow and with no family. In the early church, we get the feel of, and you can read in Acts chapter 6 all about it, because it's all about caring for the widows. And so James comes to be a reminder that religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is to visit the orphans and the widows in affliction. So what I'd like to do in our remaining moments this morning is I'd love for you to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Because in 1 Timothy chapter 5, we really find a wonderful passage that explains God's heart and the heart of the Apostle Paul for the function and the process that the New Testament church did in caring for widows that would be great for us to revisit. And really want to give you just simply two major principles regarding the care of widows. And I'm prayerful that as we think about this, and just like last week when we talked about caring for orphans, that it's starting conversations or it's continuing conversations that are bubbling in different parts of our church. Some of it in our ministry, some of this is just through relationships, but how can we care better as a church for our people? And I want to give you two major principles. First, caring for widows should be a priority. When we start to capture the heart that God has for the widow. And I want to say something before I get too deep on this, because I felt this in the prayer time before. To all of our widows that are watching online or here today, I want you to know, because being a widow and walking with my mom, who is one, it's tough that as you age and you're doing it alone, and especially it's tough when my mom will turn 94 in August, so many of your close friends pass on, you're kind of like, you're playing the TV game Survivor. Although you get towards the end and it's not all that much of a celebration because you're looking around and you're seeing so many of family members and close ones, close friends that are no longer there to celebrate with you. It's difficult. And there's parts as a widow, and it's part I can hear my mom echoing, she hates weekends. She doesn't mind Sundays because you got church. But it's Saturday is like a never-ending day because it's the norm of being able to, my mom drives still, all right, or up until her surgery. So it would be tough for her to, Saturday was a day she didn't get out, but it would be so long. Just seemed like a monotonous day. But to all of our widows, I just want you to know, God sees you. You are not forgotten by him. And so even in those lonely moments when you just do feel forgotten, you need to know that we love and worship a God that sees you. And you're not forgotten. And that's why this point is so critical for us as a church, is that we need to be reminded that we be a church that responds to what affects God's heart is what we should be pursuing. It's not some trendy idea. It's really biblical to be about what moves God's heart. And the first priority is to know that caring for widows should be our priority. So look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. We'll start off in verse 3. Honor widows who are truly widows. See, the word honored here has the idea not only of valuing and not only respecting, but it's helping in practical ways. So it's multidimensional in this part that it's honoring, yes, it's respecting, yes, but it's also finding ways to support and just help. And it even goes deeper to that. This really has an idea of attaching money and resource to it. And this is the part, whatever it does to honor them. In other words, Timothy is bringing out here, honor. Do whatever you can to serve, to come alongside. Matthew chapter 15, this same particular word's used in Matthew chapter 15. And so if you turn with me there, keep your finger there, or if you've got your digital Bible on your phone, this will be real easy. Scroll over to Matthew chapter 15. Because I want you to see how Jesus addresses this. Matthew 15 starts out, Jesus is there, and he's confronting the Pharisees and the scribes. And they come to him, and they come up from Galilee, from Jerusalem, and they say, verse 2, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. See, it was not that the Pharisees and scribes had this real big phobia about washing your hands. All right, and I know that there's some of you that are phobic. Constantly washing your hand. You constantly have your bottle of hand sanitizer on you. And you're more than willing at lunch to share with people, right? This is not the situation here. So what the Pharisees and the Jewish tradition of this day And it was a legend. It wasn't anything that had any anchor into any of the Torah or any into the religious doctrine or the religious word of the day. It had nothing to do. It was based on tradition. And basically the tradition was this, is that you would wash your hands because they had this fear or in this tradition that if you didn't, you would have demons that would have clung onto your hands. And so if you didn't wash before you ate, you're eating demons. And you could then become demonized and possessed. And Jesus comes along and he is, look, Jesus is not doing the ceremonial washing either that the Jewish tradition described or prescribed. And Jesus wasn't in tradition for tradition's sake. He was only in doing the will of God. And so when he comes to this, he answers them in verse 3. He answers them, why do you break the commandment of God? For the sake of your tradition. In other words, why aren't you really following God's word and break, why do you break God's word and you hold to a tradition? Look at verse 4. For God commanded, honor your father and your mother. And this is a direct quote from the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what have you gained from me is given to God. He need not honor his father for the sake of your tradition. You have made void the word of God. See, what they were doing here, they would talk about in their gifts that we were talking about here in verse 5, that if they, the tradition of the day is that you would use some of your proceeds to even help your family. I mean, this is where you can see it not only scripturally, you see it in the Jewish tradition, but what they would do is you had Pharisees and scribes that would then take, think of your wealth, your estate. They would go to the priest and say, would you bless this? Would you bless and would you, I'm giving it all to God. Will you help me to bless and give it to God? So because they would do that religious moment, then when family members came, they would actually just say, well, I can't help you because I've given it all to God. So they use it as a way to skirt the actual need. And Jesus is confronting them on that, going, look, you've devoted it to God, it belongs to God, but your daughter needs help and you're not going to help. Your family needs help. You're not going to use your resources. And Jesus is confronting them on their hypocrisy. Look at verse 7 of Matthew chapter 15. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the Ten Commandments of men. So the idea of honor, going back to 1 Timothy chapter 5, the idea of honor is that we would take care of, even financially if necessary, widows. And widows who are truly widows. So it's just not because somebody's a widow, but because they are truly a widow, and we'll get into that. Because by a widow, commonly we would think of someone that had lost their husband, and now she's left alone. But the Greek word here that's used is much broader in the definition. This is fascinating. What it's talking about is women who are also bereft, women who have been robbed, women who have been totally left deserted without resource. And it could even be death. It could be divorce. It could be desertion. It could be a variety of circumstances. But the idea here is that when there are women in the church who are without, the church has a responsibility to come alongside to help. And again, at parts, when I say the church, it doesn't always have to be the church organized, but it, as far as that we are promoting it as a ministry, but it's we see the need and we respond as the church. And we have tremendous people that do this in this church, that come alongside and support our ladies with helps, with tasks, to fix up things around the house. And it's really wonderful to watch. In fact, I can even, being back with my mom 2 weeks ago, thank her neighbor. Because we have a neighbor that lives right next door to my mom that would, my mom would buy the resources, but he would take his time to fix the wood fence in the gate and do little things around the house just on little repairs, and it means the world. And that's the part that God wants us to know and to be reminded of, is there is, should be a priority to what we do. Scripturally also, there's a second thing I want to bring your attention to this morning, is that there's an evaluation process that we can learn in Scripture today to truly help and to know how we can move forward to really care for widows. So I need to preface this, is that this is to genuinely have a need. This isn't like, hey, I'm a widow. And that the evaluation process helps us to know how we can help and how we can respond. And so it's just not lining up, but there's a process of discerning where the church should start and help. So look at it. So first, does the widow have any children or grandchildren of their own? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing to God's sight. See, there's a pleasing nature to be able to love back on your parents. And my brother and I are in that stage, right? I mean, especially now. My mom had so desperately, like, it's, my mom's a tough cookie, all right? So if she's trying to physically get back into shape and recover from the surgery, my mom's stubborn too, so she'll tell you this. And then kind of smirk, and because she won't really want to say she's stubborn, but she's stubborn. And she wanted to so much pass on that when she passed away, to be able to just say, look, I've got all this extra money in my savings and checking, sell the house, I just want to bless you guys. It'd be a lasting legacy that you have, memory, I just want to bless you guys. And this is the part where it's like my mom, and it's also part why you'd have conversations. She goes, I don't know why I'm hanging on so long. And she'd get real frustrated about it, going, oh, but God has a plan and a purpose, right? And there's parts where we could look at mom and say, Mom, God's blessed you, that you have the resources to take a step in this next season. And you need to know, there is, as your children, we want you to rest, not worry. You've got the means. Let's put this in place so that coming from surgery, you can be in the skilled nursing, you can be in the assisted living, and you don't have to worry about maintenance things on the house anymore. You don't have to be worried about driving over your sprinkler head when you pull up the driveway, or worry that our nephews are seeing you not stay on the road and driving on the shoulder. Which she'll deny, but it's truth. See, here's the part, is that we could, in a reverse way, tell our mom, Mom, take the worry out of trying to pass something on. We love and honor you. We're grateful that we've had you this long. And see, that's the heart that becomes pleasing in God's sight, is that as children, we would want to take care of our parents. Not as an obligation, but again, in the same love that they've passed on to us to that stage, may we usher them in. See, that's true religion. That should mark us from the very moment as teenagers in Rock House on through life. Each family should look for their own relatives. And that's been the journey that we're walking. But this is the part, as a family walking with my mom, but this is one of those great moments to be able to show back love to her, to ease her mind, and to let her walk in dignity. And God wants to do that in all of our lives. Secondly, I want you to know about this evaluation process is not only is there children or grandchildren, because they should step up, and this should be a part of what we all do, but second, is the widow godly? Look at verse 5. She who is truly a widow, left alone, so again, this is quantifying, a widow left alone, no one around, has set her hope on God, and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. In other words, this is a woman who is not even looking for the church for help. She's looking to God. She's looking to God to continually help her, for God to be her source, God her supply. She understands this truth in Jeremiah 49:11. Look at it with me. Jeremiah 49, verse 11, leave your fatherless children, and I will keep them alive, and let your widows trust me. See, the widows Godly widows trust God as their support and as their source. They're praying all the time. They're looking to God. What an incredible part. Because if there's a widow that does not have that heart, scripturally, it says we don't have any obligation. But if they're godly, if they are seeking him as their source, then we need to perk up our ears and pay attention to it. Thirdly, does the widow have a network of friends? Look at verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than a believer. Wow. Can't be much more straight than that. The Greek word for relative is much broader than just saying defined as family. It's conveying more. It's that anyone that, basically it's your circle of influence. People that you influence, you have that circle, but especially your family members. If you do not care, if you do not provide, you have denied the faith and is worse than a believer. And when we're talking denial, it's not that they're walking away, but it's like you have not owned up to what the true nature is of who the God you serve. Because the God you serve would give up everything for you. And he did. He demonstrated it through his greatest act by sending his son to die on a cross for us. Look at it in John chapter 13, verse 34 through 35. A new commandment I give you, that if you love one another just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So the very living out, the rudiment parts, the foundation of our faith, if we're not helping the people around us who are in need, when we're aware of a need, then we've denied the basic teaching of our faith. Look down even in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Look at verse 16, just later on in that chapter. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows. So the idea is that you might be aware of a widow, and you and I might be aware of one that's right around us, but that if you have the resource, and even for widows, to see another widow that could have help, and they have the resource, that they could help that widow. And it's fun when you start to watch, and I've watched this about our Calvary Church family of widows, is how they love one another, and they care for each other. It's fun in that part to watch, is watching how they care, how they support, how they encourage to walk this tough road alone, and that they're not forgotten. It's an amazing expression of what serving Jesus is all about. I'm grateful for, and that's one of the tough parts for my mom in this stretch, is she had a friend that about 8:30 every single morning would call her. Every morning. And the conversation would be pretty quick. Stacy and I would be there. The phone would ring. Yep, I'm around. Okay. And that was the whole point of the conversation. She was just checking in. I'm still alive today. Yep, I'm good. And you just gotta love friends like that. And this is the part that God wants us to have, is when we start to become the church of an Acts 2 church that will love and support one another, even on that beautiful type of expression of how widows can support others, it becomes a thing of beauty. And as we live that out, here's what's amazing. Many old timers would tell you of a great expression that's been lost in our more current culture, but it's talking about having an open heaven. An open heaven in our worship, an open heaven in our prayer life. And that open heaven is just where there's just nothing. It's like God is just raining buckets down. His presence, the depth of his spirit. And really, I'm praying, even as we went through the Lord's Prayer, that God, your kingdom come. Kingdom being his reign, his authority, that it comes down, that we would experience it on earth to the degree, to the depth, to the thickness, just as it is in heaven. Just let it be real. And see, when we start to do this, caring for the orphans, caring for the widows, Guess what will happen in our worship services? Guess what will happen even when we begin to pray for people in the checkout line? You could pray for somebody in the checkout line to be healed, and guess what's going to happen? They're going to get healed. Guess what's going to happen where we would start to see awakenings and great moves in our nations in the past is it didn't all happen in a church service. People would go pray for people, and people were falling in the presence of God. Businesses and homes, in streets and classrooms. The accounts are staggering when God moves. So how do we get there? We love and care orphans. We steward our tongue. We care for widows. That begins true religion. And we'll even get into the last part of verse 27 in a few weeks. But before I close, I just want to, because some of you, if you start reading ahead, which some of you might have if you're in 1 Timothy chapter 5 still, verses 9 through 15, I'm really not going to comment on, just because that really was describing how widows were cared for in the church. There were so many widows in that day that the church literally brought widows on staff. And that's what they're describing here, is the church literally started putting widows on payroll and gave them duties in the church. So some of them were praying, some of them would work and serve in the church, and they even had qualifications that would be very similar to how we would ascribe to deacons. So in this case, they raised up a widow class of deaconesses. And that's what's occurring here in verses 9 through 15. So it really was more addressing something that was happening then than what would happen today. But it'd be similar to what you would see with Anna in Luke chapter 2, if you just want to do a little study later on. But the idea that we see throughout this passage is that the church would try to determine and ascertain what's the greatest need and try to help them. So if I could have our worship team come back. In closing, let me just say this. Caring for your parents, caring for your grandparents, caring for your relatives, your close family, friends, that is every person in this room, every person watching online. This is all our responsibility. Because first and foremost, we care for our family. It's not the church's job. Doesn't mean that the church doesn't have a place, but it does start with us that we take care of our family first. Our nuclear, our biological families, our adopted families first. And then we need to prioritize to those who are truly widows. And then we begin to experience the religion that is pure and undefiled before God. As a church, we're going to start watching God bless as we step into opportunities like this. When we start watching the church in its expression of how we care for orphans, how we care for widows, and begin, it's the motivation that why we do it is because it moves the heart of God. When our motivation is pure, when our faith is pure, that we chase after what God breaks over. See, what's amazing when we begin to walk in that step, month by month, week by week, year by year, God's going to give us favor in our community. Because all of a sudden they'll be talking about, well, that church seems to do something. And it's not even necessarily attributed to church, to just what the church does, but it's like, it's the people of the church. You know, the people of Calvary. And see, you already have this reputation of being an incredibly welcoming church. I have people that say that all the time, going, man, you know what, that church, it's hard to be a stranger there. Because people have tried to come here and be that. And you have not led to them. And that's a wonderful thing. Not that you're pestering them. You don't want to get to that part. But you've found a balance. And see, that's the part that as we continue to live out and say, just as the book of James is laying out for us, let's take moments to evaluate. So even as we go through this verse, may we evaluate, Lord, how are we doing? Because guess what? There's always ways we will always be able to improve. there's going to be always room for improvement. So how do we get better? How do we get stronger? And what can you do to help make that happen? What can you do to step forward? And again, that's why it doesn't have to be this big official thing. But maybe you know a need, and God's tapping your heart to help a particular widow, or an orphan, or a foster care, or even help families that do, to come alongside of a family. It's wonderful. It's so wonderful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for your love for us this morning. And God, I thank you for what you are building at Calvary Church. Because God, a church that loves and moves after your heartbeat. God, you reveal yourself. Just as we sang earlier, God, you will manifest yourself into people who call out and actually do, not just being hearers of the word, but doers. So Lord, today, convict us. Prompt us. Maybe it's, Lord, just help us to have an open eye, a listening ear to needs that might be occurring around us and what you would want to use us to help be an answer to a prayer. But Lord, may we, by the way we demonstrate and care for others, that God, it'll help reinforce that people could actually see that there is a God that's real because of the way a church lives out their faith in you. So God, help us. Help us to continue to be the church that you want us to be. With every head bowed, I have to ask this question here today. Because you need to know the same way God looks down and cares for a widow, he cares for every single person in this room. He has a desire and a love for you that burns so true, so real, that he would give up his greatest asset, his greatest treasure, which was his son, to come and face an undignified life, to have to live as a man, deny his deity, and later die on a cross for your sins, our sins. So if you're here today and you've been wondering, is this God thing real? You need to know that there's a God that brought you here today to let you know he wants to be real to you. So if you're here today and you're kind of going, okay, God, I want to trust and know you. I want to know you. It takes a step of faith, and it takes you to open up your heart to say, God, I will let you lead my life, and I will let you be my only route to salvation. It's not going to be by the religious things I do, but it's just my trust in you. That's it. If that's you and you know you need to make that shift to let him lead and guide your life to be your only way of salvation, to experience a God that loves and cares. If that's you today, in a moment I'm going to have us pray a prayer, but if this is you, this is an act of your heart. It's just not the words. It's really your heart, the faith that you're going to place in God. It's what it is. And if you want to make that decision, this is your opportunity right here, right now. With everyone, would you please say this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for not giving up on me, for not forgetting me. You remember me. Come into my life. Lead my life. Be my Savior. The only thing I trust in for my salvation is you. I give it all to you in Jesus' name.